Good evening. Good evening, who just joined?
Lati.
Lati, God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing all right, I guess.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
There's no one here but you and I right now.
Oh, got you. Yeah, just, still kind of going through it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Got everything. Yeah. I guess I won't be able to be in the delivery room when my daughter comes, so I gotta kind of let that sit in a little bit.
You won't be able to be in the delivery room? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I won't be able to. So I have to stay home.
Okay, why?
Anger, frustration, I guess, or something. I'm not even fighting it anymore. I'm just kind of just letting things go. It kind of happened when I got my name changed today. It finalized through, so I am Jadu now. So.
And they're saying you can't come to the delivery room because your last name is different?
No, it's because she doesn't want me to come.
So. Oh, I got you. All right. Yeah. God bless you, Sister Hawanda. God bless.
Yeah, bless. Greetings, family.
Hello, Sister Hawanda. How are you?
Good. I'm blessed. Yes, sir.
Awesome.
How are you, awesome. God? How are you, Apostle?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I'm grateful and thankful.
Yes.
I have life challenges like everybody else does.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? But I have some experience at knowing how to sit back and tell Satan I'm not in the mood right now.
I know that's right.
I'm just not in the mood. I understand, I've learned to understand that I have to not allow him to control my mood. He can control what he does. He can't control how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
He has no authority there. I have to give him authority. I have to give him the authority for me to be sad. I have to does that make any sense?
Give away your power. Yes, sir. You got to give away.
Mm-hmm. And so often we give away authority because God gave you the authority over the vessel you live in. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. things do happen, but I have a choice on how I receive it, how I perceive it, and then how I react to it. And so as people of God, you have to, and I love Sister Hawanda's word, you have to maintain your power. Because the other side of when I give up power, I'm not giving up power based upon an emotional thing. For instance, if the enemy comes and makes me sad, I'm not giving up power based upon the emotional thing. I gave up power based upon a faith thing. Because what I did was when I switched over and let him have that authority, I told God, he's a little stronger than you.
Yes.
And I'm not believing you for what you're going to do with a thing. So. Never give up your authority.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I'm wonderful in that regard because I know how to keep power, and I know how to keep positive. I know how to keep my mind out of the worst places that it can go, because the brain is such a unique instrument.
Tool.
It will if you give it half a chance, it'll lie to you like crazy.
You,
everything's broken, everything's messed up, nothing is going right, it'll tell you that stuff. And if you don't have power over and the authority over that, you won't know how to say but I know all things work to the good, because at some point God is stepping in and showing out. You won't know. Does that make any sense, anybody? Because too oftenly we give up our authority and let Satan have authority in regards to how we feel. instead of what he did. His authority is in what he did, yes. The challenge he put in front of us. But his authority is not in how I feel about it.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Marone, God bless you. Brother Dewan, God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
An amen and a hallelujah, Dewan.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go around the room and just check on everybody. How's your week been? Yeah. Does anybody have a testimony? Has God done something that you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew God's signature was on the move?
Every day when I go to my program, every day, mm-hmm. I know, mm-hmm. you see the people, what's not worse off than I am, Pastor. I don't know, work for them every time, yeah. Like, please, God, let them do, be all right. Yes.
Mm. You know? You said you go to your program every day, and yep. there are people in the program that are worse off than you are.
Yes, yes.
And you let them know every single day it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Ooh, yeah. Lord. Now let's talk again about where you are. Share that with people because, you know, sometimes we're conscious yeah. but not aware. You can be woke yes. but not ready to move. Yes. Right? You can wake up in the morning but you ain't ready to do yes. nothing. Take some time to get into it, right? So yes. so sometimes we're conscious but not aware. Tell us where you are. What does Dewan deal with every single day?
Everything come with me. I gotta have help with everything. Getting dressed, getting showered, everything like that. Yep.
But say it one more time. Take your time, sir. You said.
Yeah,
It's a challenge every day. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What kind of a challenge is it? You said getting up, getting dressed. Explain that.
Yes, sir. I think I can't get up on my own. Can't get up on my own. Yeah, I have help every time. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is everybody listening?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the reason that you have that challenge every day is because of what?
In the car accident.
What year?
Into 08. I think it was second of 08. Yep.
In 2008, car accident.
Crashed into a tree.
2002?
2008, Pastor. Yeah.
2008.
2008. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened in that car accident? You like broke a leg or something, and what happened?
They told me I got severe brain injury. Severe brain injury. They put me in medically induced coma for 2 months. Yep.
Left you in a coma for 2 months.
Yep. I could not talk. It did nothing. Yep.
Couldn't talk.
You did nothing. Yep, man. Yeah. For 2 months was the vegetable. Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
2 months as a vegetable.
Yep.
Being fed through a tube.
Yep. Too fed. Yep, too fed.
Not yep. being able to say something. Not. Nope. I just want to help you, Dewan. I want to make sure everybody gets it because, and the reason that I'm doing this is not to dive into Dewan's business, but it is to make us aware of what we're not conscious of sometimes. Because Dewan is saying, after the car accident, 2 months in a coma, fed through a tube, couldn't eat, couldn't bodily functions, right? And then what happened after the 2 months? Did you get up and walk away?
Nope. No.
Okay, what happened then?
They stuff me from the hospital. This stuff me from UW hospital for 2 months in there. And then I had to go for another year to rehabilitation center, in Juneau, Wisconsin. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So UW hospital
yep.
for, did you say another year?
Yep. Yeah.
A year.
More like 2 years, Pastor. Like 2 years.
2 years. Two months in a coma.
Yep.
I just want to reiterate, Dewan, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure everybody's getting it. Yeah. 2 months in a coma. Come out of the coma. you were paralyzed?
I can move my arms and legs, but I can't walk. Yeah.
Can move the arms and legs, but can't walk?
No.
Okay. All right. And that was 2008 through 2010. And it's 2026?
Yes, Pastor. Yep.
So from 2008 to 2026, that's 18 years to me. Yes. Am I right? Is my math right, everyone?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
That's 18 years that you've been in a wheelchair. Is that correct?
Yes, correct, Pastor.
And you're encouraging other people that it's going to be all right?
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And every time you come to Bible study, you have a positive mindset. Every time you come to Bible study, you're encouraging other people.
Yes.
You come here faithfully, week after week, for years.
Yes.
You don't complain. You haven't moaned. I haven't never heard you groan. I've never heard you say this is unfair and unjust. Is that correct?
Yes, correct, Pastor.
Yeah, and if we don't get anything out of that, you ought to be inspired, because some of us have legs and arms and we're still in trouble. Some of us have eyes and ears and we still can't hear or see. Some of us have words and we still can't talk. Some of us have.
Come on, yes, you are.
There's a time to stop and really learn to thank God for what you do have, not for what you don't have happening yet.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, Pastor.
Oh, hallelujah.
You're an inspiration.
Hallelujah.
To anybody with some sense, you're an inspiration. Anybody ever had like a big zit on your face or a bump or?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had that? Anybody?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. And you remember how embarrassing you felt or how embarrassed you felt when people looked at it and saw it?
Yes, sir.
Anybody remember that? You tried to bust it before you got outside, then you were mad because if it did bust, you had blood there. You'd have a spot there and people could see the spot and they knew the zit was still there. And they knew. Anybody remember that?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, glory to God. So how much courage does it take for someone to go out and function? And especially those people, they're in the wheelchair and they're holding the door for people at Walmart who are walking through with frowny faces. And the person in the wheelchair has to hold the door for them because they're so caught up in self that they don't recognize how much grace they have over their life. Dewan, you're an inspiration.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, you are.
And so that's why I say Satan can make attacks, but he has no authority over how I feel. That's a choice from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. And if I choose to go down there with him, I chose that. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's got control. I'm giving him some control. Don't give the enemy that power.
No, true.
Don't ever do it. Yeah, it's not feeling good right now. But in fact, 90% of my life, of what I've learned in Christ, whatever Satan does, I do the opposite of what he expects. Because I learned that when I do the opposite of what he expects, he stopped doing what he was doing because he realizes it's not working. It's not causing the effect I want to have on Pastor Monroe. I want him to quit. I want him to give up. I want him to throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. I want him to say, this doesn't matter. I'm not helping anybody. I want him to do that. Mm-hmm. And I keep looking at him and going, I'll go deeper and deeper. Every time you come with that attack, I'm just going deeper into the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, somebody. And I hope and pray we get that. Don't give your power away.
Nobody.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So going around the room, thank you for that testimony, DeJuan. That's powerful. That's God doing that. When you can encourage other folks and more often. How many phone calls did you get this week, DeJuan? Everybody, please listen. How many phone calls did you get?
I said my mom and grandma.
Your mother and your grandmother. How many people from the church called you? It's okay.
Zero.
How many people from the church called you?
Zero.
How many people that you know that you grew up with in school called you?
Zero.
How many girls called you to say, let's go out to dinner?
Nobody, zero. Yeah.
So you're like David. You're like David. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, because if you think about what I'm saying, he's encouraging other people and nobody's encouraging him.
Amen. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And sometimes our lives, God bless you, whoever just joined, sometimes our lives are just like that. Nakobe, God bless you. Good to hear your voice.
God bless you. Thank you.
Sometimes life is just like that. You have to recognize there's no one here to encourage me. And that's why David said in the book of Psalms, I have learned to encourage myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Satan has nothing on you. If you know you can encourage yourself, that today ain't all the days of my life. It's just today.
Amen.
Today is just today. Yesterday was yesterday. If the Lord allows me to live tomorrow, any circumstance I'm in can be changed.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Let me go back around the room. Any other test? Has God done anything for anybody? A testimony? Have you seen God do something in the midst of your week?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'll start with Nat Colby.
Oh, wait. So, Sunday, we got fed real good Sunday with the Holy Spirit and things like that. We went to my old church because we had found out the pastor over there had a brain tumor. So long story short, then we come to our church and Apostle doing what he doing, and we get prayed over. Well, my son get prayed over. And this time Apostle used the oil. He never used the oil on him before. I don't think my son ever got that, but the experience that came behind it, it was like my son called me the next morning at work. Like, I thought something happened to him. He was hysterically crying and stuff like that. I'm on my way to go to a job to make some money. And he's like, mom, just like, and I'm in my head, I'm like, what? They trying to take me. They go, I want to be with my son, mom. He's like, I'm sorry. He said, I'm a bad person, mom. I'm sorry. He just kept saying that. And I want to cry right now. Because by the time I got to him, he was shaking it. And I feel like because when apostle pray over you with the oil, you feel something. And a lot of us go down. I seen his body limp, but he didn't go down. So I thought he was fighting it. He said, Ma, I couldn't move. But so long story short, I got to his job or whatever like that, and the boss came there, and she looking at him like she don't know what to do or whatever, but I'm looking at the situation like, I see what's going on. I said, the Holy Spirit is convicting him, but the devil trying to keep him in that mind frame, thinking that he a piece of S-H-I-T boy, and because of the things that he did and things, I said, son, you're going to be okay. I had the oil in the car. I'm praying with him. I'm hugging him and stuff like that. And then he said, Ma, call the pastor. Call Apostle. So I called Apostle. He ain't answer. I called Pastor Cooper. He ain't answer. I called Pastor Joseph. He ain't answer. My uncle answered. But my uncle wasn't the one he wanted and needed to feel to get through. So my uncle kind of was thinking like he was on some type of drug or something like that. And I'm like, no, uncle, this ain't that. I seen this. And I was with him all day. It's not nothing that you thinking. So my son thought that was negative. He ain't want to hear it. So, you know, then finally I got through to this lady out there in Rockford, my old church, Sister Verdi. She really cared about him, she, like a godson. And so as he was rambling and going on, he studied the devil saying stuff to him. And then you can hear the other side, which is the spirit. And it's like the more he talking, she praying. And she just didn't stop. And all of a sudden, he started calming down. I got chills. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. He stopped. He calmed down. He said, Mom, take me to my son. Took him to his son. He went in there, and he told his baby mom, he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting you through all of this. And he just was going, he said, where your brother and them at? Call your brother and them so I can tell them I'm sorry. And it's just like, so Sister Verdi asked, did anybody explain to you what you was going through? He said, no, at this time, he hadn't talked to Pastor Monroe yet. Sister Verdi was the one that broke the ice that he needed. But she said, you was repenting. And I forgot the other stuff that she was saying because it wasn't for me, it was for him. But he was repenting and things like that. But the devil didn't want him to do that. So it had him kind of tweaking out like he was finna go to jail because he's on probation. And it's like one more thing, you going, you getting locked up. So he thinking that, then he thinking that his boss was gonna call the people on him because they thinking that he going crazy. And I had to tell them when I went up there to get his car, I said, I don't know if you know about God or the Holy Spirit or whatever like that. I said, but my son got prayed over. And he was having a spiritual thing going on or whatever like that. I said, not crazy. I said, but he just needed to leave. She said, oh, I know about God. And she's like, and I felt something. I didn't know who to call, but I thank you for being here or whatever like that. But before the day was over with, I stayed over there with him all day. She did, Sister Verdi told me, don't let him go outside. She said, don't let him drink nothing but water or milk all day. So I got him a nice little big old thing of water. And I did. I went through the house with the oil. And in the same time, though, I didn't know him and the girlfriend was into it while we at church. When we get back there, we ready to eat Easter Sunday dinner. She got the house a mess because she's leaving. She's sorting clothes and stuff like that. And he feeling like, Mom, should I stop her or should I let her go? Let her go because you got something else going on here. And it's time now. It's time now. And now today, what you said, Pastor, 3 days later? Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's good.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What an amazing testimony.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Yes.
See, the God we serve is real. It's not a joke. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing.
Yes.
You just let him in. He'll clean up some stuff, and you'll never be afraid of anything again in your life, because the only fear that you should have is the fear that you're not pleasing your God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not that you're not pleasing people.
Yeah.
But is my God pleased? Did I do it right? Did I handle the problem right? What an awesome testimony. Thank you so much, Sister Nykobe. That blesses my heart.
Thank you.
Sister Marone, has God done anything? Anything you want to share?
Yes, sir. I mean, every day is a testimony for sure for me able to breathe and for me able to, you know, realize that how much blessed I am in this world. So this week, I would say old friend of mine, my roommate, she used to live with me. She takes me out of nowhere. We didn't end up goodbye. Like we just end up like we were just wasn't a good end. So we just went our own way. So she just texts me saying that she missed me. how am I doing and everything. So that was a powerful, like, I didn't even expect that she will text me anything. So that was a powerful talk with her I had. We catch up. Of course, I don't hold grudge anything. So we just pick it up where we left. So that was a really beautiful conversation I had with her. She's going to come to see us soon. She's pregnant. And so that was really, really wonderful. And my husband, we have a son back in Africa. His birthday was on Sunday, Easter Day. So, I didn't get a chance to talk to him a lot because my husband go to school in Michigan. So I've been praying to God, like, I just want to, like, once he come here, I want him to feel like welcome. And he's, you know, like, I don't want him to feel what I feel because I was adopted. So I kind of know the feeling. So I get a chance to talk to him, and he seemed very, like, so that was a really big testimony too. Like, I want to make him feel comfortable and loved and, like, yeah, because his mom passed away, so I just want to give him the space that he can be himself and everything. So that was a really testimony for me, able to talk to him on the phone, wishing him happy birthday, tell him that we all love him, and we work on his paper. So so it's a beautiful, beautiful God's will.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a grace-filled God. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, sir. Latif.
Just want to add to Nicobe's story, because that's really resonating with me and is, like, very powerful. I feel like that's a very, very powerful testimony, because if I'm not mistaken, when she said in the story that there was a person that wasn't quite understanding that, and I feel like those people fall in the ones that don't understand the kingdom. They don't understand that there is a spiritual war going on around us that we with our naked eyes can't see, but it manifests in a way. And that's what I believe she was, you know, seeing in her son, was seeing those things get purged out of him. And like that right there is, like, we have to, like that's the, one of the biggest things I try to tell anybody. If I get a chance to spread the gospel, I get the chance to come across someone that I feel like I'm not going to waste my words on, because these words are pearls, you know, from the Lord. When I really try to get them, that's, like, one of my big things. I got kind of like a list in my head, you know, because, like, I've said many times, you know, you can't just tell someone, give your life to Christ, that's it, and everything, you're good, you're going straight to heaven, you're good. No, it's a process, you know. If you want to go into the physicality of working out, you know, it takes 3 years to get the body that you want. This stuff is a lifestyle. So when it comes to that, you know, you really got to understand that, like, you've spent your whole life seeing everything physical, but you have to really drill in your brain, like, there is a lot going on in the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm. There are demons, there are angels, there are spirits, there are things that are going on around us. And once we understand that, and if I'm not mistaken too, she was saying that one lady that ended up, you know, praying over him and understood that because she was in the kingdom, because she has ingrained in her mind and her brain, and she has an understanding that there is spirituality situations going on, and that's, like, super important when it comes to this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got, this is New Covenant Church of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to open up in prayer. We're in the book of Galatians. We were finishing up chapter 6, I believe. And that is the final chapter in the book of Galatians. We won't... And then we're going to change our direction just a little bit. We're going to do some reading starting next week, probably in Ephesians. But we're going to start breaking down scriptures. We're not just going to glean over, gloss over, and you know, ice skate over the word of God. We're going to go dig in and get into the pool. And if we can, we're going to go into the ocean. And as deep as we can go, we need to go. Because I think, you know, Latia, thank you for what you said. Because this really is a spiritual war. And if we're not equipped for the war, you know, it's like, and I like to use this analogy. You probably heard it before. If you haven't, it'll be a good one for you. And that is, it's like those old vampire movies where the Catholic priest would walk in with a cross and stand in front of the vampire and say, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And the vampire would grab the cross, right out of his hand and say, you don't have the faith to use that. You got the words, but you don't have the faith.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We cannot afford to have words. We need faith. We need weaponry that defeats the devil when he comes, because he'll go. You ever been in a scenario where you prayed, and then what you prayed for didn't seem to move anything?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seemed to change at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the prayer was sincere. It was fervent. It had energy. It had love in it. And you put in that prayer, and nothing seemed to move. And if you don't have faith, you won't know that though nothing is moving, don't mean God hasn't moved.
Come on.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't see it moving, don't mean God is not in the background moving something. And if you don't understand that simple concept of being a believer, Satan will ruin your faith.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tear it up. Go ahead.
Can I piggyback off of that? What you just said? I just said this. I just realized that God has been doing what I've been praying for this whole time. He has really just been having his hand on me, even since I was like grammar school. Like, I'm thinking of things that I was doing things that I dodged, or I'm not going to say that I dodged, that he made miss me. But with my baby daddy, like, it's just like he loved me enough to have a watch on me all this time. My parents is gone, all of them. But I know that we prayed together, we sung together, and all of that. And when my mama died, my uncle that did the service, my great uncle, he's a pastor, he's rest in peace to him. But he came up to me, I'm the oldest of six. He said, "You're gonna be okay. You're the strong one." And I remember saying, "I don't want to be strong. Why I always got to be this one?" But I realized through this all of everything that I've been through, it could have been worse, and he could have chose anybody else, but he chose me. So today makes day 8 that I haven't smoked no marijuana.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we bless your name. Hallelujah.
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 Yes. Amen.
Awesome. Amen.
Awesome, sis.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to have thank you, Sister Nakobe. You got a word in you today.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have Sister Marone open us up in prayer. And
okay.
All right. And then you'll be closing us, Sister Hawanda.
Yes.
But open us up, Sister Marone, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Lord God, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for this amazing, wonderful testimony, your work, your presence in our life, in our people life, our cousin, our brother, our sister, our daughters, our son.
Yes, God.
For everything you do. Honestly, it's your presence and your will, seeing your glory, to testify what you did. We just thank you. We give you all the glory, God. It's only you can do such a miracle. Thank you, God. God, I pray that you will come and help us learn more about you. Help us to put you first no matter what in our life going on, and the ups and downs, high and low. We just know that you are our strength, you are guide, you are everything for us. So let's hold on tight and you help us to guide us. God, thank you so much for all my brothers and my sister in this Bible study. I pray that you will all bless them and all help them to know the deep love and the wisdom and the knowledge and your power. God, we want more of you and less of us. So please show us your presence. Show us your will. Show us your love. Show us forgiveness. Show us courage. Show us to believe in you and to stand up what we believe. So thank you so much for your will. Thank you so much for this beautiful day that we call present. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know about today. And I thank you so much for you knowing about tomorrow and the plan you have for us. God, please come guide us. Help us to know more about you. Holy Spirit, I guide you. I invite you to help us to guide us in this Bible study. We want more of you. We want your presence. We want your knowledge. We want your power in our life. We want your fire. So please, God, please, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Help us to know you more. Help us to find our strength in you. Thank you so much for everything. Every breath, every life, everything we have, we give you. We surrender to you so you can just lead us in your direction. We give our kids, we give our life, we give our everything we have is yours. So God, please lead the way. Thank you so much again, God. I pray and I glorify you all those things in your son, Yahushua name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen, somebody. We are in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We left off last week talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We gave assignments, if we remember. There were a couple of people who did not accomplish their assignments, but they said, I'll be back next week or the week after, and I'll do my assignments. So we're going to move on to chapter 6, and we're going to read like one scripture at a time. And I think that what we want to do is try to make sure we understand the context of the scripture and then go to the next one. Does that make sense? Unless the next scripture is within the context of the first scripture. Yeah. So I want you to break it down. I'm going to ask someone to read, and I want you to break it down, not by scriptures, but by context. When the point is made, stop and let's discuss the point. I need a reader who'd like to volunteer to be that person tonight.
I don't mind if nobody doesn't go.
All right. We're starting at chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go there. And I think that's a point unto itself. I think if we, it'll have enough contextuality that we can actually discuss it. Go ahead, Sister Moreau.
Okay. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Okay, thank you. So I think we had a little bit of conversation about this last week. What is he saying, though? I'm going to go around the room. Lati, what did he just say? What's his point?
One second, Pastor. I'm kind of being put in a position where I'm having someone distract me.
Okay, no worries. We'll go on to Sister Hawanda. Thank you, Lati.
Yes, sir. Says, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who is spiritual, restore as one in spirit of gentleness. So it's saying, if somebody, you see somebody struggling or going, doing something that's outside of, you know, the will of Yah, especially if, you know, you see them on this journey, you know, they're on this journey, that we should go to them in love, you know, to, you know,
admonish.
Yes, not to, you know, not to bash, but that's being mindful of how we are going to them, to encourage them, that, you know, I would say in an encouraging way, that they that you would, you know, are actually still holding them accountable and encouraging them that they, you know, they can do, you know, they can do better, and with the help of Yah, you know. So it's like it's saying to restore them. So, you know, let them, that's why I said to encourage them. And then, you know, with some accountability there too, to let them know, hey, I know this thing, you know, may be hard, you know, but I know that you can do it with the, you know, with the help of Yah, to just remind them to, you know, don't give up, you know, to tempt or give up or give in to temptation that they might be falling short to. And, you know, basically, and then it also says to consider yourself after that too. So consider yourself, like, so I feel like if he's using you to go in, to restore somebody, you should be, if he's using you to do that, that's some area where you should have, some wisdom and growth in that area, you know, like, because if you're not able to hold yourself to that standard? You know, how could you tell somebody, you know what I'm saying? How could you restore somebody in the area, you know? But so I feel like if you have been in a place to where, you know, you I say like, hey, maybe graduate, you know, in that area, then you can go, you'll have some tools to give them. You know, it's not like you're just talking about something you don't know, that you can actually give them some guidance in the, in that area too as well. Yeah, I'll say that.
That's a beautiful explanation. Go ahead, Sister Marone, I heard you say something.
Oh, I say amen. Yeah, I agree with everything. Yeah, so I guess for me, what I understand is like, hey, judge not so you'll be judged, you know? So God always say like, hey, we know, like, we all been sinners at one point, you know? And we don't know God. And so when we see our brother or sister, even in Christ, when they go that road or doing something, they're out of character, God's character. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm better than you. You're below me. Like, or don't think like, right. Oh, yeah. So that person is sinning and I'm not. So don't go shame them or don't think I'm higher than you. More like, hey, I understand, you know, I've done the same thing or maybe similar thing. But you know what? I believe in God. Just get back up because, you know, I was like you. I couldn't do life or without God. So you need God. Come on. You can do this without God help. So we will fall down here and there no matter what. As long as we get back up in Christ. Let's not judge our brother, our sister in Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I want who's got a computer in front of them beside me? Or a telephone that has a computer on it beside me?
I have Google.
You got Google. Beautiful. So, Lati, I would like for you to look up two words. I want you to look up first the word restore, and I want you to look it up like this. What does the word restore mean in its original meaning? Because how many of us know that words change just like the calendar? People will use a word 500 years ago, they were using words a certain way. 500 years later, we're using them differently and sometimes don't realize that they may have a little bit more depth than what we're using it for today. So let's find out if there is more depth to that word first.
Well, it says in its original context, the word restore appearing in the Middle East around the Common Era is what I'm saying, 1300, as means to give back, return, repair, or bring something back to a former, better, or original state.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So say it again, please, slowly.
It says the original context, restore, is to give back, return, repair, or bring something back to a former, better, or original state.
Okay. To give back, to return, which means, again, and we talked about this a little bit last week, it means it has to already be there. So, Sister Marone, you're absolutely right when you said it's really mostly speaking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I cannot give you what you never possessed.
Right.
I can't restore what was never there, right? Can't remodel a house if there's no house, right? And so he's saying first, let those of us, if we see someone that's overtaken in a fault that already had certain qualities and moral value, right?
Mm-hmm.
We which are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's the next word I want you to look up. What is the original meaning of meekness?
Meekness, as in being meek.
Mm-hmm.
In its original context, particularly in the Greek New Testament word pros and Hebrew anav, meekness means power under control or a gentle spirit. Not weakness. It signifies having strength, power, or authority, but choosing to limit it to serve God and others, similar to a trained war horse, power under control, or a soothing ointment. Sorry, I went a little far with that, but yeah.
The balm of Gilead.
Yep.
The balm of Gilead. That's why that story is in our Bible. Because that is the balm, that's the salve that heals, soothes. But the person that delivers that has to be so disciplined that when the people reject what you do, you have the strength to not be infected or impacted by it. Watch what he says next. He says, restore such a one, right? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, because the meekness protects you. Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Because if I done, this is important for us, because if I can't do it with meekness, I probably shouldn't do it.
Right.
Because there may be a regurgitation that sucks me into where they are rather than encourages them to come out to where they're supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Oh, I thought I heard someone speak. So does that make sense? So you're not just telling us to do something, because one thing is restoration, and the other thing is and Lati used this language the other day when we were talking. The other thing is being a spiritual police. And so oftenly, people that are born again believers become spiritual police. There's no worse job Satan could give you than making you a spiritual police.
Right.
Where you running around telling everybody you just need Jesus and you know, oh God, you need to get right. That's not restoration. Mm-hmm. That's judgment. Mm-hmm. Anybody listening?
Yes.
You need to get your life right. Yes. No matter you may mean I love you. Ooh, let's talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. You may mean I love you. I want the best for you, and I hate seeing you in this condition. I hate seeing you under these circumstances, but the minute you say you need to get your act right, you changed all of that intention into a spiritual police moment. And now your response is, I want y'all to get this, please. That's why you hear people saying, you think you're better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever heard that come out of somebody's mouth?
Yep.
Yeah, but I wasn't trying to make them feel like that, though. I don't know. Deliverance is everything, though. I just, at the one while, like, I just really wanted people to just get it, you know, like, hey, look at what's going on, though. I want y'all to come to heaven with me. Come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know that we can't do that. We got to worry about self.
Uh-huh. Ooh, can I add to that?
Please do.
And that's a thing too, because again, I just want to, you know, put a lot more emphasis on your testimony, because it's beautiful, and I want you to stay in that wonder, that feeling that you have right now, is because this is when you start realizing who God is. Mm-hmm. And it's you have to, you know, really kind of like keep that, you know, going, and make sure you keep that in context too, you know, with people, because they don't. Once you see the beauty, and that beauty blows you back so bad, like in the best possible ways ever, you so like wholeheartedly, deeply, you want to save people, because you like, if you guys only knew this, you know, because like you say, you were realizing all the stuff that God has done. From, I mean, we all walk around with chronological line over our heads. You know, we got our traumas, we got our pain, we got our struggling, we got all that stuff. And so that right there is like, when we understand that, and you seeing that, and you witnessing that, and you're seeing it in first person, and it's, you're realizing it, then that's when we, because I did that. I was in that conversation Pastor Moreau was talking about. I was kind of spiraling down that, because I'm just like, man, it's like, you know, now that I've gotten this, you know, understanding the Bible, understanding the word, and having my spiritual family around me, I'm like, man, like, I want everybody else to have this too. I'm like, dog, man, don't do that. And your heart's in the right place, but unfortunately, when it comes to, you know, being, you know, in Christ and stuff like that, and I don't mean to be morbid about it, but it's just like, not everybody's going to make it, and not everybody's going to want to make those choices, you know, and we have to, like, really, like, discern that and be like, all right, well, because I'm at the point where if someone is, like, curious and they're actually, like, I want to know more, and I feel that tug on me, I'm gonna give it to them. But it's at a point where it's just like, you know, because I kind of wanted to dish it out. But now I just like, hey, you know, if I feel like the Lord is opening up a conversation, I'm going to take it. But if nothing is coming in that, you know, general direction or that person, I kind of just like, all right, well, I'll just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, amen and amen.
That's powerful.
Yep. And the reason that I think this was a sort of kind of a good thing for us to have as a discussion is because there's a reason that the Bible says one must become skillful with the word of life.
Mm.
It requires a skill set, and I can tell you where the skill set comes from, if I may. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to help people, and it's the difference between evangelizing someone, you should write those words down, between evangelizing someone and restoring someone. They're two different elements, they're two different actions. Evangelizing someone is trying to get them to come close to God.
Yeah.
Restoring someone is trying to get someone to return to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to, I drive a car. It's one thing to need gas, and another thing to want to wash the engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's still something I'm doing to the car, but I'm doing something completely different. And so that's where the skill set comes in. And 90% of the time, the reason that God brings us through the kingdom in phases like he does is because with each phase comes a new tool. Because once you get through, if you had to go through the Brazilian jungle and I gave you a white suit and say, go to the other side, I'll meet you on the other side. I'm 100% sure that suit is going to be all green when you get there. If you get there. But once you get through it a couple of times, you now become a guide, not a tourist.
Yeah. You got the gifts.
You can now take people through the same jungle. They can have on the white suit and they'll come out and the suit's still white. Because you've learned the pathways to it. And that's what skillfully handling the word of God is, because one of the things that God is trying to teach me is there is a difference between evangelizing someone. There's a difference between just encouraging someone. There's a difference in restoring someone. There's a difference in correcting someone. There is the same. It may be the same person you're working on, but it requires different tools to fix it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And so spiritual police try to fix everything with one tool. You need Jesus. You messed up. You ain't no good. You got to get better. You did it. That's the spiritual police tools. The meekness tools are different. They require me being strong enough to appear weak. Oh, glory to God. I hope somebody hears that.
Absolutely, yes. Come on.
The meekness tool requires me to be. I can't be meek if I'm scared, scary, cowardly. That's not meekness. It can appear as meekness, but what it really is weakness. Mm. And meekness and weakness are different. Meekness is I'm strong enough to snatch your head off, but I don't mind you punching me in the chest because I already know I won the fight with you. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Anybody listen?
Amen.
You just don't, because what you see is somebody that's allowing you to do something. What I'm seeing is someone that's giving you the opportunity to get whatever frustration you need to get off you, so I can now help you to become what you need to become. So meekness and weakness are two totally different entities.
Yeah.
Evangelism is completely different from restoration. If someone already knows, I just need to remind them of who they've been. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're better than that. I've watched you do all these wonderful things. Why are you doing this now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know you're wrong for that. You should have been. And so some of the tools we come into the kingdom with, the tools we learned in the world, those tools, believe it or not, were about judgment. They were never about reconciliation, how to restore people. They were about how to judge them, make a decision whether you kick them out, you know, kick them to the curb, or whether you draw them in or let them be around you. But that's all based on my selfishness. Those tools came from me being a self-centered person, and it all has to work for me. But now I'm in this kingdom position where it all has to work for everybody. Ooh, boy.
Amen. Amen.
See, amen. Kingdom is about it works for everybody. That's why the Bible says, whomsoever will, let them come.
Yes.
That means he has a plan for anybody that wants to be in the plan. I don't get to select who I want in the plan. I need to know the plan makes its own selection.
Yes,
it does. Glory to God. Are we getting it? The plan made the selection. I need to know how to work with the selection the best way I can. So meekness, everybody, please remember that meekness is not weakness. It's not, I'm just going to sit here and take something. It's I'm strong enough to take it because it won't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
It won't destroy my personal self-esteem when somebody sits back and says certain things to me. Or if a man walks up and says and calls me an N-word, I got to retaliate because how dare he? But if does anybody understand what I just said? Because if you come up and call me the N-word and I react, then you're more powerful than me. Let me try that again. If you come up and call me the N-word and I react, then you're actually more powerful than me because I'm so injured a word caused me to go off. But if I have the wisdom that God has given me and you came up and called me the N-word, I realize how broken you are. And so why am I going to go to a broke place in order to try to make something be fixed? It's impossible. So when we go back and look at Dr. King, who was the greatest example of utilizing the word of God to change a country. He didn't change a few people in the church. He changed a country because he understood meekness in ways people did not.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So we're going to go out here and get called some names, but we're not picking up a brick, a stick. We're not going to throw a stone. We're not going to throw a punch because we're stronger than what that is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It only affects you if you believe what the people say, you know, so you realize that they deflect and, you know, a lot of people say how they feel about themselves. So it takes maturity and discipline.
Can I add to that part too?
Yes, sir.
And it's like, I can give you an example. I grew up with at a pretty you know, I went through a lot growing up. But what helped me forgive people so easily is once I started understanding people's past, their environments, and you know, what also tops that is, this is not physical. It's always going to go back to spiritual. And if somebody did come up and call you the N-word, you should something to fire off, like Pastor Moreau said, the brokenness and being like, there's something inside you. There's something in you that is broken. Yeah. There's something in you or whatever environment you're in that jumped in you. You know, there's so many things that move towards, like, you know, especially when you're reading the Bible, it should just automatically fire off in your brain where it's just be like, there's no point. There's no point of getting upset at people. There's no point of getting mad. And there's like, and I'm preaching to myself right now because now I'm starting to get what Pastor Moreau is saying, you know, especially in my instance, is just, it's not them. It's it's deeper. It's always deeper. And, you know, that's what the Lord was explaining to us, and that's what Paul was explaining to us, just, you know, again, the spiritual parts, like, it's not them, it's rewiring, it's the environment, it's what they were told, it's what they were around, all these things, this whole cocktail mix of stuff that brought them into who they are now, and because maybe God wasn't present in their lives growing up, or they didn't have parents that were, you know, doing those prayers and, you know, doing what they're supposed to, that, because we live in a broken world. So it just kind of, it goes in 360. It's this 360. And like, again, you know, like, the only thing that exits all that out, the only thing that stops that is when you follow the word of God. Because when you don't follow the word of God, that's, again, you know, then you start falling under, you know, consequences, you know, because you got people who, I don't mean to talk a long time. You got a lot of people who be like, oh, God did this. Well, I'm so mad at God. I'm like, you can't get mad at God. Like, this is the consequences because you went outside his word. This is consequences because you did everything outside of him. And you have to learn, because a lot of people, I feel like they paint God as like this, you know, this oh man, he's going to punish. No, it's not like this is all you, because when you come back to the whole situation is you send yourself to hell. That's all on your record. That's you.
Yes.
So it's I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's just it helps you understand, you know, a little bit more. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us and get in our brain. And again, I'm always going to say this, you guys are going to get tired of me saying this. It all comes down to reading the Bible. Like, that is like the I would say 99% of it is getting that word in your brain, because the more you can memorize that, the more you can get the context, the symbolic, the allegorical, all that stuff. It makes life so much easier, because you have an understanding now of your surroundings. You get the environment.
Praise the Lord. Very good. Thank you, Latif. That was beautifully said. Good. So speaking of reading the Bible, I've got a couple scriptures I want everyone to write down, please. And then we're going to go forward with Galatians 6. First scripture is Proverbs 1:5. I want you to read it. I want you to study it. And next week you're going to share with me what you believe it means. Okay? Proverbs 1:5, here's what it says. Because we were talking about restoring people, and we need power to do that. So Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands will obtain guidance. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15, please write that down.
2 Timothy
2:15.
15.
That is the one that says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, that needeth not be ashamed. Got it? 2 Timothy 2:15. James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom,
let him ask
it of Yah, God, who gives generously, liberally, to everyone without reproach. And he'll give it to him. But then it goes on to say, but not let not that man ask. Let not a double-minded man come to him. And this is what I'm talking about the man with the cross versus the vampire. The vampire was trying to show the priest, you double-minded, brother. That's why he could snatch the faith or the cross out of his hands.
But
because when you double, go ahead.
I was gonna say, but that also shows, you know, just because you see that it's somebody that may be working and doing something evil, they have some discernment too, you know. So that how is he able to discern that he ain't where he is, you know, in order. So future, yo. Really can't fake it till you make it.
That's a good point.
Hot or cold, like.
That's the Sister Hawanda,
yes,
Daughter
sir.
Yarber. That's a great point. I hope everyone gets the depth of that point. Many of the people that you have capitulated, surrendered to, and allowed to do what they did, they were just as weak about it as you were. You just the one that gave in. You caved. You gave them power by thinking they were stronger than you.
Come on. Okay.
Come on. Praise the Lord. Anybody get this?
Yes.
Anyway. I mean, look at a bully in school. A bully is only a bully as long as the people he's bullying keep giving him the power to be that.
Yes.
You knock him down, he stops bullying you. Why? Because he realizes you were the stronger one. You have more power. And that's what meekness is. It is a power that overshadows the devilish bullies in our life.
Say that again. Meekness is the power.
Meekness is the power to overcome devilish bullying in your life. Mm-hmm. Because the devil is bullying. You know how you know he's bullying? Because when he came to God in the book of Job, and he said, and God asked him, "What have you been doing?" And he said, "Oh, just going to and fro, seeing whom I might." Whom is the operative word? Finding the weak folk that I can devour. Seeing whom. I couldn't get everybody, but I can find them weak folk that's too scared to stand on their truth.
Woo. Mm.
Huh. The ones with the cross in their hands rebuking me, but don't have the faith to stand still and trust you. I'm looking for them folk. Hallelujah, somebody.
That have a zeal of denying the power thereof.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got it?
Yes, sir.
So James 1:5 and then Colossians 3:23.
Colossians
3:23.
Can you spell that for me real quick?
Uh-huh. Colossians. Some people say Colossians, but you can pronounce it either way. Colossians, right? 3:23. That scripture says this. If you didn't write this down, you should. Because this is the this is the 1-2-3 punch combination to knock Satan out.
Oh, hallelujah.
I want you to get, you got to get this. It is the four scripture combination. It is a right cross, it's an uppercut, it's a right hook, it's a left jab that gets Satan back into his place. Listen to it good. If you're wise, learn and increase. Two, do your best to I'm reading the NIV. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. But it says study to show you. So when you study and when you use the wisdom, right? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, and in Colossians, and whatever you do, do it heartily because you're doing it for the Lord and not yourself.
Yes.
And that's meekness.
Yes.
Anybody receive that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
That is how meekness is formed, because no matter what I did it for the Lord. I sought him for wisdom before I did it. And I made sure I studied to show myself approved. I looked for these circumstances in the Bible, because everything in life has already happened before. That's why the Bible is written. So I went to find stories like that, so I saw the outcome, because I saw what God did with it. Now I know if I follow the prescription that he used, whether it's in Exodus, Genesis, whether it's in Malachi, whether it's in Isaiah, if I follow the prescription that God gave to that man, then the prescription has to still work, because how many of us know when God writes a prescription, it's an eternal medication that still works today, no matter when he wrote the prescription.
Yes. Come on, it won't return void.
It cannot return void. It's an eternal prescription. It's not I wrote this then, but it don't work today. No, it works forever and ever and ever, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's the one that is, was, and the one that is to come, because whatever he says and does becomes law in the earth, and the earth can't change his law.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Are we getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. And so let's keep going. So write those down. Make sure you've got them. Please study them. We're going to come back to next week, and you're going to talk about how you're using them, because we are going into a much deeper place this year. 2026, I said this at the beginning of the year, this is our year to be in it, to win it. We are not in this war to be walking around talking about how many scars Satan left us with.
Come on.
Because I cannot claim to be more than a conqueror if I'm the one with all the scars and Satan ain't hurting at all. I'm the one always going to the hospital to get something repaired because I just got out another bout with Satan. No, I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
I know he threw some punches, but I'm ready to go study to show myself approved so I can throw some more punches. I'm going to hear wisdom and increase in my learning. So the next time he gets ready to duck, I'm going to hit him with an uppercut because the last time I threw a jab and he ducked and I missed him. This time I'm throwing the jab first and then I'm uppercutting second. So when he ducks, I'm already there to greet him.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I mean, in a spiritual manner, because every time you pray, you threw a jab. Every time you fast, you threw an uppercut. Every time you read, you threw a left hook. You got to understand it's a war.
Yes.
Which means there is a fight. Amen? All right, so let's keep going. So he says we were at verse 2. Everybody ready for this? Because we're going to discuss it. It says, bear ye, put up with one another's burdens. And if you do so, you fulfill the law of Christ. And that's deep. Somebody tell me, what is he saying to us and how far did that go?
That went all the way back to the cross.
It goes back to the cross? Explain.
All the way back because he bore everything for us. All that burdens, everything. It's he just like for me, like when I told you weeks ago, I don't remember what date it was, but about the brother that came to me about his addiction, something that I have overcame. And, you know, and me, you know, I'm not really a crier. I mean, I'm an emotional guy, but not with no random person. But for me to feel that pain and see in his eyes, it'd be like, I see you are tired, that you don't want it no more. And that right there broke me down because I'm just like, dude, I know how you feel when you're addicted to something, you don't want to do it and you keep falling. And then it was so I was bearing his burden. I was carrying his cross with him. And I have that blueprint and I've overcame it. That's why I talked to him about it. And I gave him everything that I had. And I believe that's why it goes back to the cross, because the Lord bore everything human has done from the beginning of time to the end of time. And that's, I mean, like a lot of people just kind of take it as just like, you know, yeah, it was a very big deal, but we got to put emphasis on that, man. Like he took everything we've ever done, everything, in one of the most excruciating ways of torture. Even now wouldn't even be, you know, I mean, you're better off taking a couple bullets than what he went through. You know, and that right there is what popped in my head was going straight to him on the cross. Like he bore all our burdens.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Latif. Anybody else? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is he saying? And how far does that go?
I was going to say... Go ahead, whoever that was.
I was thinking, you know, like it said, like love your enemy, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, and then I mean love Christ, and oh my goodness, now my brain is blank, but like the law is pretty much like love Christ, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, so. If we love Christ and follow his commandment, and if we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, so we will love them as the love of Christ. So we bear their burden like how we do the same thing for Christ. You know, I mean, he showed us how to love, you know, what he did, the cross and how he did in the coming back as a human being, everything. So if we love one another and bear their burden like Christ did for us, I feel like, you know, there's no commandment after this, like, because exactly what he said, love Christ and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So, and then if we love ourselves. I don't know. I was okay. Just, that's top of my mind. Sorry.
Well, that's good. That was beautiful. Go ahead, Sister Hawanda.
I was going to say, kind of piggybacking off what Latif said, like, so it's letting somebody know that whatever weight or whatever, you don't let people grow through by themselves when he's saying the burden, you know what I'm saying? And also, I just wanted to, like, you know, this is, because it's presently happening now, and I feel like it lines up with the moment. I'm just overjoyed in my spirit because I've been praying for my brother Lati. He hasn't told me that anything was wrong, but I can pick up in the spirit, you know what I'm saying, from a couple of weeks back. So I've been carrying him in my spirit, and I've also been lifting him up in prayer. And today I feel like all I've been over here in my head saying is he's back. And
So I want you all to deal with the second part of my question. Let me go to Nykobe. Nykobe, what does that mean?
I'm sorry.
Bear ye one another's burdens. It's okay. Bear ye one another's burdens, and in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. Now, don't forget what one said, everybody. This is sort of kind of a continual point. But each verse has a context sort of its own, right? It has something that you can pull out of it on its own, each verse. But the whole letter, right, is in context. He's making points to a letter because he's advising the church of Galatia. He's talking to the leadership and to the people of the church and saying, this brother, you're going to have to do it this way. This is what you need to do. Same thing we do in Bible study, same thing we do at church. When people come in church and they're going through something, they talk to you and you go, oh man, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, the Bible says we should do this. It's the same. Paul is doing the same thing that we do every Sunday. He just did it in a letter. So his statement was, bear ye one another's burdens, and in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. Marone said, very adequately, you could break that down to love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. That is the law of Christ. He said, against, if you do those things, there won't be any law. Sister Hawanda elaborated and grew it some more, right? Took it to another place. What do you think he's saying?
That's why I had got distracted because I was starting to say it, but like we like coming together with burdens and loving each other through it. That's a shorter version.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Come together, try to love each other through it. But are there any boundaries around that? I mean, let's use some for instances. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. So I know somebody that they're saved. They may not be fully matured in Christ, but I know they're saved. I know they sincerely love the Lord. They got put out. And I'm the one that's aware of it. They didn't go tell the whole church. They just told me. How do I bear that burden? What if they do I go ahead and say, hey, well, let me let you, you know, I got a place, I got a room, and you're welcome to stay there until you get on your feet. Okay. But 6 months later, they're still there. Do you bear the burden?
No, I think I'm supposed to.
Although I have, but no.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Wanda. Is that you?
Even first 6 months, you know, that it should be a plan in place, you know, because you're not you're not setting somebody up to be handicapped. You're setting them up for success so they won't end up in this situation again. Even for the 3 6 months, and how did you end? Just, you know, asking the tough questions. How did you end up in this situation to find out they have income, are they being mm-hmm. a good over their income, and mm-hmm. being tooled mm-hmm. to succeed, you know. Yeah.
I want everybody to write that down, please. Thank you, Hawanda, and thank you so much, Nakobe. I want you to write mm-hmm. this down.
Okay.
Bearing one another's burdens is not me carrying your yoke. It's not what Cyrus did for Jesus. I'll carry your cross. It's a combination of what Sister Hawanda said and what Sister Marone said, and it's a combination of what we saw in Cyrus. I will pick up your cross if I know you can't right now. But remember what one said, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one?
Yes.
That's connected mm-hmm. to this. There should be a plan for success before you pick up anybody's mess. I like that rhymed. There should be a plan for success before I touch your mess.
Hold on. I want to write that down too. There should be a plan for success.
Mm-hmm. Before I touch your mess. Before I jump in your mess. Before I get in anybody's mess. Right. And Sister Hawanda was spot on. If this person, and I've done this before, praise the Lord, God is good. I had a house with 3 bedrooms and I only used one. And so I rented out rooms to people. People who were believers. One of the persons that I rented the room out ended up going to jail because he robbed the bank.
Wow.
Another person I rented the room out, I had to find a way to get him out because he would never leave. He was an elder gentleman, a really wonderful guy, ex-pastor, and a really wonderful guy. But he was really looking for someone to take care of him, not for someone to support him to move on for his life.
Yes,
And the reason that it ended up going longer than it should, and I thank God I had meekness because I was equipped to handle it, but it went longer than it should because it was never a landing place. It was a stepping stone for people. That I was trying to help them to get someplace, and many of them came in and wanted to land there because they had, one, good counsel. Two, they had somebody that loved the Lord and wasn't hard on them. Three, they had someone that was praying for them, praying with them, and never praying on them. Four, they had someone who cared enough to do the right thing. And in fact, it didn't matter if you brought your cousin over, you just couldn't have women coming in the bedroom, so forth and so on. So they had someone to help keep moral structure for them. But what I didn't have was a plan for their success before I got into it and it became a mess. Because I never said to them, what are you going to do? How much time are you going to need? What is your plan with what you're doing? And how did you get in this scenario in the first place?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So Sister Hawanda, you're spot on. Thank you for that from the Holy Ghost. You must have a plan for success for people, not just a plan to love them and to carry their burdens. Because you'll find yourself being the only one carrying it later down the road because you never had a strategy in place that was to help them to be restored. You get it? Verse 1, restore them, not bear the burden, but bear the burden toward a restoration plan. Praise the Lord. Everybody got it?
So can you go back to the one where you said write this down, bearing one another's burdens, and I think I cut you off.
Yeah, that's verse 2? Bear you one another's burdens.
You said write it down.
Oh, I don't remember. Do anybody know what she's talking about?
I only got that part.
Is she talking about the rhyming part?
So I just wrote
Not the rhyming part. Before that, he said write this down, bearing one another's burdens. And then it was something else.
It don't mean that you gotta like you know, like you were saying something about the yoke after that. I didn't get a chance to dial
down. Oh, yeah, it was about the yoke. Yeah. Something about the yoke.
Right. So what you're saying is discernment. Use discernment and wisdom. You know, don't just go in blindly helping people, you know, figure something out with that person.
Yes, sir. The four scriptures I just gave you, James, Colossians, right? Second Timothy. You've got to use those scriptures. They become the power behind meekness, because now I know I'm strong enough that if I have to get them away or put them out or move them on, I can do it. So my helping or carrying the burden for a while doesn't become me carrying it too long, because I don't have the meekness strength necessary to say, this has to stop now.
Yes.
Mm. And praise the Lord.
Yeah.
If some of us, if we had just the courage to say, this has to stop now, would be in a totally different world, because we let a whole lot of stuff go on way too long.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
sir. Keep reading. We're coming up on 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, say it again.
I'm just a witness, yes, confirming what you're saying. Yes, we have been in a place to let some stuff go on way too long.
Way too long. So please, tonight and for the rest of your life, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers. Take this and use it. It works. If you work it, you'll be like, oh, my God, how long, how much further would I have been if I'd have actually used some of what somebody taught me?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then he goes on. He says, okay, so bear one another's burdens. Verse 3 says, for if a man thinks himself to be something, when he really is nothing, he's deceiving himself. What's he talking about now?
Too much too much pride and too much pride.
Okay, write that down. Like, pride. What else can cause that?
Openness. Being a spiritual police.
Being the spiritual police, Lati. it'll cause you to become the spiritual police, right?
Selfishness.
I'm thinking of something. I'm supposed to come out here. I'm God's warrior. I'm supposed to go out here and challenge everybody. I became. What else?
Selfishness.
Selfishness.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Well, let's take that a little deeper. Because selfishness is the mindset that I deserve something that other people don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So self-deserving selfishness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not self-righteousness, because you know, because I know the word, I'm right and you wrong.
Because I know some you don't even know. Even if I don't know the word, I know it. I don't know what you're talking about. That mentality. Self-righteousness.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
You should be jotting these things down.
Yeah.
Right? Anything else? Yeah. What else comes out of that? What else is he talking about? What is one of the main end results of if a man thinks himself to be something?
A fall. A fall, he said. When with pride comes a fall, you know. So you gonna fail. That's what comes with that.
Pride comes before a haughty spirit, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's the scripture,
sir.
Proverbs. Okay, so typically brings about a fall. Okay, all right. Pride will do that. Okay, what else?
Yeah.
Just like you said too, you know, when you think you're something and you're not, and then you try to help something or help someone with something that you're not mature, you have, you know, conquered, you get sucked into it.
Okay. You get sucked into it. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back in history a little bit. Let's go back in the things that God has taught us through life that we sometimes, we know the life lesson, we just never put our thumb on it. How many people have you known that said, I'm going to go do this, and never did it?
Me?
You ever seen a child, right? Yeah. Because we got musical instruments in the sanctuary. You ever seen a kid walk up and go, I can play drums? Mm-hmm. Oh, really, son? Let me give you some sticks. Go ahead, have a seat. But in his head, he believes he can play drums.
He can play the drums, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So what's producing that? A form of desire with no form of knowledge, and it creates delusion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Desire without knowledge is delusion. Let me try it again. Desire without knowledge, is delusion. Or at least telling someone you can do something because of a desire and you don't have the knowledge to do it is delusion. So for me to walk up to you and say, I'm going to start a business. What are you going to do? Oh, I probably sailed up. I have desire without knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I'm going to do, so which means I'm probably not going to do anything but just talk.
Yeah.
Next thing, when it comes down to God and to vision, because desire is a form of vision. Please hear me tonight. Desire is a form of vision, as long as it's in God. In other words, you see a business, you see owning a building, you see owning an apartment complex with 30, 40, 50 units in it, you see all that. You want that. Mm-hmm. The desire is there. Mm-hmm. Got it? That's a form of vision. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? First off, can everybody get that? It's a form of vision. Yeah. You came in and said, I want to play the drums. That's a vision.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now watch what happens, though. If I'm not willing to take vision and add knowledge, what I do is I end up hurting myself because I never manifest what I talk about. And when I can't manifest what I talk about, it kills my self-esteem.
That's why he say to write the vision and make it plain. That's what's coming up for me. Get the vision out your head, because if it's just stay in your head and you can just say it out, you know, your mouth, it'll stay right there. Because once you write the vision, you can say, start making those steps of what you need to mark off of your list to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And yeah. So bringing vision, because vision is a gift from God, but bringing it to pass requires what we just talked about in 2 Timothy. I have to now study to show myself approved to bring about the vision that God has given me, and listen to me real good, quietly.
Yeah.
Every time you talk about a vision and you haven't already gotten 90% of that vision accomplished, you're just letting air out the balloon of vision that God gave you. And so what happens is, because you get just as much energy and encouragement and enthusiasm from talking about something as you do from manifesting.
So, can I add to that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, scientifically speaking, too, with your brain, is when you say stuff like that, when you speak about it and you don't do it, you're actually tricking your brain and you're getting the reward system already in that instance. And then it basically it kind of stops you from actually trying to achieve it. So you're tricking your brain and then thinking like, oh, I achieved this, when you're talking about it instead of actually doing it.
Mm-hmm. Did everybody get that?
Yes, sir.
You are psychologically tricking your brain into making it think something already happened, and you're getting pleasure from it, rather than using the energy from the vision to bring it about, and then you talk about it. It doesn't make sense, and I've used this analogy before, and then we'll close out on this at 7:02, 7:03. It doesn't make sense for me to go to war. The Bible says, what man goes to battle without first knowing what the enemy has? Who builds a house without first counting up the cost? You'll find yourself embarrassed in those circumstances, because he's talking about delusion. thinking you can win, and you don't, you got five soldiers and you go up against 500 soldiers and you ain't winning that. So you have to have strategies. You have to have plans. You have to have planning. You have to have inclusive planning. The Bible says amongst many counselors, a thing gets accomplished. So I have to learn how to talk to people that have some sense and know, have some experience, and I have to know how to build a plan for success in everything I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to build a plan for success, not think I'm the only one with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
And so mm-hmm. it's imperative to understand that. And if I understand that, then I know if I go up against another army and I'm getting ready to go start a war with them because I think I can win, I do not go, I don't start off 26 miles away beating drums thinking I'm scaring them.
No.
Because I'm 26 miles away by the time I get there, what I did was I prepared them. And to be forewarned is to give you the ability to forearm yourself.
Exactly.
Forewarned is just simply forearmed. And so every time we speak on a thing before we accomplish the thing, we have forewarned our enemy, the devil, and now he's forearming himself against your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening?
Yes.
That makes some sense. Yeah. So there are certain things, right, that God has given us the ability to accomplish as a kingdom citizen, heir, joint heir, inheritor. But there are certain rules that go along with being that inheritance receiver that if I don't follow them, it's not that the inheritance doesn't belong to me. It's that I am slowing down the inheritance. And if we remember a couple of weeks ago, we were reading in the book of Galatians that the inheritor, as long as he functions like a child, finds themselves being no more than a servant, though they be Lord of all.
Yeah.
And so when we are as we're moving forward, and I say we'll be cutting off in a minute, but watch what he says in the next verse. First off, don't think more of yourself than you ought. That's what he's saying. Next, let every man prove his own work. That's what I just said in a long way.
Yeah.
Prove yourself to yourself, not to everybody else.
Come on.
But can I do it for me? Can I accomplish this for me? Because it's delusion when I go tell my kids, I'm going to buy us a house one day. And I can't accomplish it. Let me buy the house and then tell the kids before they move in, I got you a house.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Does that make sense? I don't need to beat the drum to make sounds. I need to win the war and then go beat a drum. I told Artie that the other day. Win the war, then go beat your drums all you want to. Look at what God did in my life. Oh, praise the Lord. Now I'm being, now I'm never thinking more of myself than I ought. I'm now humbled properly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're going to close, have closing thoughts. We'll pick up next week on the next couple of scriptures. Hawanda, please remember where we were so we can pick up on it because I'll forget. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Closing thoughts. Let me go around the room. Lati, closing thoughts or closing comments, sir?
I just want to, you know, thank everybody here. You know, I really enjoyed this and stuff. I got a lot of thinking to do, you know, I'm picking myself back up and everything. I just want to thank Sister Wanda, too, for her prayers and all that stuff, because I am a firm believer that prayers, you know, do work. You know, that's one of the big things that I've been, you know, learning in my life now. So I really appreciate it. And I thank you, Sister Wanda.
No thanks necessary, my brother. That's what we're supposed to do. I feel like I'm in position. Yeah. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So,
hallelujah.
I thank you for that. And just
blessing, it's a blessing.
And one more thing too. You know, Sister Nicobe, did I say that right? Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm. Mm-hmm. I got nothing but excitement. I'm just so happy for you. I'm so happy that you, what you've seen, what you witnessed, how you're feeling and stuff like that. And I just, like, man, like, I'm excited for you and stuff like that, because I just want to put a lot of emphasis on everything you're going through, because that's a very big deal and that's a very big blessing. And that just shows you how beautiful and powerful it is to know that we have the creator of the universe. We have Jesus Christ at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf all the time. And the fact that your son, I just want to let you know, like, heavens rejoice. That's one of my favorite scriptures, is when a sinner turns from their ways, the angels are singing. So I'm just want to say, I'm just really happy for you.
Thank Hallelujah. You. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes. Thank you. Bless
you. Thank you, Brother Latif. Let's go to Sister Marone. Closing thoughts, comments?
Yeah, well, I'm just thankful to be here and to learn. And, you know, every time the Bible study and whenever I read the Bible, I can feel God's spirit guiding me, teaching me knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So I'm thankful for our Jesus Christ, Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And definitely, because, you know, I know my people perish because of a lack of wisdom or knowledge. And so, yeah, I feel like that's so true, because God made us in his own image and likeness. So I feel like we can create business, we can create ideas, we can really live. There's no point for us to be poor or begging for begging for things or for I'm not saying I mean poorness is bad. I'm just saying more like, I mean, we're made of God's image and likeness, so we have his mind and his likeness. So the more we think more like him, the more the world is going to be ours instead of the enemy. So I feel like there is a lot of wisdom and knowledge in God's word, so we can use that out to the world, so we can help our brothers and sisters to become what we become, you know, like,
amen.
When we prosper, when we learn, when we have knowledge and even peace of mind, people can want that. They will love that. They will want to come to God. So I feel like the more we live that way, the more we can understand and show God's love to the world. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. So it's a really eye-opening message. Thank you so much for everybody.
Yeah, praise the Lord, Sister Marone. Thank you. Our Ethiopian sister and my Ethiopian daughter. I got so many kids, it's ridiculous. Right? Let's go to Sister Nakobe. Closing thoughts?
I just say that with everything that I've been experiencing the whole week, all of this is just confirmation that, to me, even more, like, I know God, but it's just like, wow, he's really real. Like, you know, like, and then studying the Bible, I'm finding that I really like this. Like, it's like, I got so many books that got something to do with God, but I can't get to those yet because I need to finish this first, you know? And it's just like, yeah, I look forward to Bible study, and because I want to learn. I do. I want to know how, when you ask me stuff, like, sometimes I'll be trying to figure out how to explain it. It's like I can see what I want to say, but I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say I'm slow, but I did have a learning disability, and it's just helping me to come out of it, though. I'm not going to keep saying that. I'm saying this just one time, but it's helping me, like, listening to y'all break it down and things like that. Like, it's really getting it to me, too. Because I always just wanted a teacher just to sit up there and explain to me what you're saying to me, and don't just put it on the board.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kobe. Dewan, closing thoughts, comments?
I just love getting on the Bible study every week. Just love it. Love coming to my church family and stuff like that. And yeah, have experiences over the time. I've been knowing y'all. Yeah, inspire me to do better. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Go further with the Bible study every time. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dewan. Yeah, we've been blessed by having your presence here as well, Dewan. It's a beautiful thing. And again, as we close out, Sister Juanda, you'll close us in prayer, but as we close out, my closing statement is this. Please do not forget Dewan. And I don't mean by making a phone call to him. I don't mean by all means keep him in your prayer. But don't forget the meekness.
Yes.
The courage to help other people. When he's in a circumstance that he has all the right in the world to complain about. Oh, God.
We're past it.
Yes, sir. Because and because if you don't forget that, it'll dawn on us how much we complain about stuff that other people are 10 times worse off or in a circumstance.
I don't know what happened to my phone, but the other phone that I was on, but I will say that was nothing but the devil because I kept trying to call back in and it kept hanging it up, so I had to grab my other phone. I'm back.
All right, welcome back. So we're closed. Does everybody remember? Please remember Dewan's story, not Dewan's personal thing, his story. Because anytime people that are going through 10 times more than what you're going through and been going through it for years.
Yes.
And they're upheld in their relationship with God and upholding other people in their relationship with God. That's something for us to kind of go, let me go check the mirror. Am I just whining a little bit today? Am I just over here doing the woe is me mode today? Because no matter what woe I got, I haven't had to sit. I haven't been in a coma for 2 months. I didn't have to sit in the hospital for 2 years. And I'm certainly not out having to have someone help me shower, make my food. Yes. See, and so please remember Dewan.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
to
God.
I don't know that I know him. Do I know Dewan? He don't come to church.
No, because he can't get there anymore. But Dewan started coming to church and became a member of New Covenant Church of Christ about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And never stopped coming, even if he can only do it by phone, because they used to transport him, and the organizations don't transport him anymore.
Okay.
It was 7 years ago.
Yep, yep.
Praise the Lord. My wife said over 7 years ago.
Glory. Okay.
And during that time he wasn't eating well for himself. He could not speak. He wasn't breathing well.
Wow, look at God.
He couldn't get out of his wheelchair. Now that brother gets out the wheelchair, can stand on his own for a couple of minutes at a time.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Crying, so,
man. Well, I'm glad to know your testimony, and thank you, God. Thank you. Look at him. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Sister Juanda, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, y'all. Thank you for everything. I thank you for all the testimonies that went forth on today. I thank you for the situations that where you are revealing all situations. Hallelujah. And I pray right now that you allow us to get everything that you have for us in this season. Hallelujah. I thank you that we won't miss in this season. We won't be distracted. We won't fall out. Side. Hallelujah. We will not allow the enemy to take our power in this season. Hallelujah. So amen. I thank you for hallelujah. Thank you for equipping through your word. Hallelujah. Because we are not just hearers on this line only. We are doers of the word. So I thank you for how you are going to help us to apply this word to our life. Hallelujah. Help us to write it around our the tables of our heart, hallelujah, that it be on the inside of us. For I know that one day we won't be able to have the book, hallelujah. So I thank you that you are equipping us to become the living word, hallelujah, that we will be the walking Bible, hallelujah, not just by word alone, but by living it out, hallelujah, that our lives will be a testimony to what your word says, hallelujah, that men will be able to see us in our life, hallelujah, and they will glorify you and they will run to you because of who you have created us to be, not give taking credit or glory or thinking that we are thinking more highly of ourselves in those situations, but being meek, hallelujah, and humble to give all the glory, honor, and praise to you, and knowing that we are nothing but as filthy rags, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are you, and we just confess on today that we need you. We need you more today than we have ever needed you before. Hallelujah. So I thank you for bringing us together once again in unity and in love and on one accord. Hallelujah. To work out your purpose for our life. I thank you. We all are in position. Hallelujah. That we are not out of place. We are in position and in alignment with your will for our life. Hallelujah. So I thank you for the anointing that's flowing from the head down. And I thank you for the apostle and the evangelist. I thank you for what you are doing in their life and what you are about to do, hallelujah, for you know the heart, hallelujah, you know the position and the posture of the heart, and I pray that you work on us all as individuals, hallelujah, that you will uproot and destroy everything that's not like you, hallelujah, and that you will prune, hallelujah, and make us and mold us, continue to make us and mold us in your likeness and your image, hallelujah, for the people, hallelujah, that are built to push your kingdom forward, hallelujah. So just help us to be in alignment. We just want to be in alignment. We want whatever you're doing in this season, Father, to not do it without us. Hallelujah. We want to be in that number. So we thank you, hallelujah, for calling us out of the world. Hallelujah. Knowing that we can be exempt because we are in your kingdom, that we are exempt to the things that's going on in the world. So help us to walk this word out like we have never did before. Help us to be the light that shines in darkness. Hallelujah. Help us to be the ones that use our mouth to only speak life. Hallelujah. Help us to be about it in this season, hallelujah, and help us to be always be in a place of repentance, hallelujah, for when we wrong somebody or do something outside of your will because of this flesh that we walk in. Help us to quick to repent and quick to turn from our wicked ways, the ways that don't serve who we are or who we are becoming in you, knowing that we just want to be pleasing in your sight. We want our name to be written in the Lamb's book of life, hallelujah. So we give permission, hallelujah. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our life any way that you see fit. We say not our will, but let your perfect will be done in our life, hallelujah. And help us to be in a place of surrendering, hallelujah, to where we can fully trust you, hallelujah. Letting go of those survival ways of doing things, hallelujah, where we had to be in control because we felt like the job wasn't going to get done if we didn't do it, hallelujah. I thank you for us being in communion and relationship with you, knowing that you are the one that can do anything but fail. We are, help us to get out of your way in every situation and area of our life, hallelujah. Help us to trust you even more, hallelujah. Help us to trust you more, hallelujah, because we know we have tried you for ourselves, hallelujah. So help us to focus on the evidence of what you have already done, hallelujah. If we just look back over our life and see where you brought us from, we already know that you have shown yourself worthy, hallelujah, to be able to have control over everything in our life, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just pray right now that you continue to help us. We just ask for your help. We just ask for your help, knowing that we let you know that we are imperfect people. And that we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you.
Hallelujah.
We need you, we need you, we need you on this walk, hallelujah, and we can't make it without you. So I thank you, hallelujah, that our latter is greater than our former. We thank you that what's to come is what is better than what's been, hallelujah. We thank you, hallelujah, that you are equipping us in this season so we don't miss, hallelujah.
We don't miss,
hallelujah. And I decree and declare, hallelujah, that we are more than conquerors, hallelujah. That greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
that we are healed by his stripes. Thank you that it is yes. working for our good. Hallelujah. Not some things, all things are working for our good.
Yes, God.
Yes, that victory yes, yes, yes. is already our portion because you paid the ultimate price. And we thank you once again that you got up. Hallelujah. We thank you that you got up. Hallelujah. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You that you got up, hallelujah. Not only did you get up, you got up with all power and dominion in your hand that you are willing to share with us because we are your children, hallelujah, and the sheep of your pasture. So we just want to say thank you. Thank you for adopting us in. Thank you for accepting us. Hallelujah. Thank you for choosing us. Hallelujah. We don't take you for granted. We don't take you for granted. We don't take you. So I ask that you not only touch us, that you touch our bloodlines, hallelujah. Not just but our children, children, children. Touch even our neighbors' children and everybody that we come in contact with. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the world it's not just about us, hallelujah. We know that it's all about you. And we just want to be about our Father's business. So continue to work on us. Continue to help us to focus on the woman and the man. That we can focus on ourselves and see what we need to let go of, what we need to change, where we need better. Hallelujah. Yes. For our life will testify for itself. Hallelujah. We don't have to open our mouth and say anything or have any vainglory about anything. Let our life testify to who we are and help us to bear the fruit, hallelujah, that lines up with your word. In Yahshua's mighty name, and we just we count it all joy, hallelujah, knowing that your word won't return void, hallelujah. So we just say thank you, Abba, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It is working for our good, hallelujah.
Yes.
Ooh, glory.
Glory to God. Glory somebody to give God a hand clap praise as we get ready to exit. Praise the Lord. I love you all with the love of Christ. We love each other with the love of Christ. So we'll see each other next week to stay away from the crises that take place around us. Don't forget, don't give your power to the enemy. You have you have authority over your power.
Yes.
Don't give it away anymore. Stop giving it away so quickly, so easily. Keep control. All right? All right. Good night, everyone.
Love you all. Love you all.
God bless.
Love you all. Good night.
Everybody too. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.